Welcome to the Java.net Community Corner podcast series for Java 1 2006. In this series of podcasts, we bring you the activity of the Community Corner located at Pod 532 on the Pavilion floor, including mini talks about projects hosted on Java.net and other community activities.
Welcome to the next mini talk, folks. This mini talk will be a little bit different than the others have been. This will actually be a set of interviews from the Java champions with two of our Java champions, Mr. Yaakov Fain and Mr. Bruno Sasa. To begin this talk, Bruno will be interviewing Yaakov as a Java champion, and after that interview ends, Yaakov will interview you, Bruno, as a Java champion. So, Bruno, here you go.
Hello, everybody.
Hello,
here
how are you?
We have Yaakov with us this afternoon. And Yaakov, I will start asking, where are you from, and what kind of work you do around Java?
Basically, I mostly work for Wall Street companies in New York City, and not because I love in particular Wall Street companies, but it's just happened, and usually they have bleeding edge technology, so I have a chance to work with the latest technology as a Java programmer and as a person who likes Java.
Okay. Yaakov, you were one of the chosen and Java champions, and there's a lot of press around the Java champions and how important they are for Java technology. What can you tell us about who the Java champions are and their importance for the Java community at large?
Basically, I was surprised to receive that email saying that I am nominated to become one. But in general, it's a great program, I believe, and the program started a bit late, but it's better late than never. And the good thing is that people who are not working for Sun can contribute to this Java movement and can make some difference. People like us now have access to Sun R&D and to any engineers that we want. And I had a chance to work with some of them. I mean, online, some people helped me with the problems. And I think if Sun will listen to what we try to relay to them, it'll help both. It'll help Java, it'll help Sun. We work basically as a person who likes Java. I created Princeton Java, for example. And I talk to people who program in Java day in and day out. And I know exactly what's happening in there. So, and as yesterday, I think a CEO of Sun mentioned that one of the major slogans for Sun is innovation happens elsewhere. So I am elsewhere, basically. So I talk to people who are innovating, and I think that Sun should listen to us and improve the product.
And do you think that this is working so far? You actually are being listened to more by Sun people from the things you're saying? What's your experience so far with the Java Champions?
Well, I don't know if I'm listened to, but I can tell you honestly that I will work with Java. I will promote Java without the need of any particular attention or help. I'm not expecting. I'm not a person who would ask, give me this or give me that. I will do that. I will suggest something to Sun. If Sun is willing to listen to me, fine. If not, I will still work. I will do my job. What you can see so far, myself and people who run this program are pretty responsive, and I get to communicate in the future as well.
Okay. And you are you just mentioned that you are one of the evangelists of Java in the place where you work, in the city where you work. What kind of evangelism has been very important to the growth of Java? So what kind of things do you do to promote Java to beginners, for example, or to your workmates?
Well, first of all, I always fight for Java with anybody who says anything against it. I'm not only into Java. For example, now I'm using some other technology from different companies, but I integrate with Java. Speaking of beginners, I have a website. I publish lessons for free, obviously. I happen to be a Java enterprise editor for Java Developer Journal. I go there to their special place where they have a video lab, and I record lessons, video lessons for beginners, and they're pretty popular. I have a great feedback for that. I wake up in the morning at 5 every morning. I blog, I read what people in Java community say, and I try to participate. Basically, obviously, during the day I spend like 8-9 hours working for money, but as per my wife, I work more for free than I work for money. And it'll keep going as long as the Java will remain a live creature, so to speak, and I think it's a good thing.
You know, one thing that strikes me as very interesting is that the Java technology brings this out of the people. You know, there's a lot of people evangelizing the technology, working on their spare time, working on their personal time to improve the technology. Do you think there's any specific reason why does this happen? It's just because technology is cool, it's just because it has a cool name. Why do you think Java brings this out of people? So many people are voluntarily working to make it better.
Well, speaking of evangelizing, obviously, to be honest with you, for me, this would be the best career, to be an evangelist of a software. And Java would be a good candidate, of course. But there are different types of evangelists. So there are people who are getting paid for this,
right,
and there are people who are not. So I'm not getting paid for this, so I'm not biased in any way. I don't depend on any particular company, and including Sun, I'm sorry. But I can speak up. I can say whatever I feel. I don't think twice. Obviously, I'm trying to be polite, but I don't think twice. I just speak and I write. So why I do this? Because I believe that the language itself, it's not a language, it's a platform, was designed in a very nice, in a very open way, which can be used anywhere, in devices, in large devices, on the desktop, on the server side. And it's like a huge ocean that will last for a while. I mean, definitely for my life, for the period of my life. I see that the next 10, 15 years, Java will be just fine, if not better. So that's why from the practical reason, I'd rather go with something that I believe and something that has future.
So if you're talking about the future of Java, right, what do you see in the immediate future of Java, and can we see anything right now on the faraway future of it?
In the immediate future, I see two things. First, Java is supposed to pay more attention to desktop area. Desktop area was always like a Cinderella in Java family, and I used to be doing different languages before Java. I'm working actually as a computer programmer for 25 years. Power Builder has a GUI tool or GUI data window component, and they had it 10 years ago. And Sun is now trying to reach that level that our company had 10 years ago, or Visual Basic, for example. Or now Adobe. So it's time to on to the is important, and it looks like the Java ME Java on small devices. Major and major news in this regard.
Okay, Yakov, we're getting to the end of our time. Is there anything you'd like to tell to the millions of developers that are going to be listening to this?
Yeah, I'd like to say what is negative in the program, at least in my regard. The negative, so to speak, saying I work as a consultant and of course, there are known people, we are influential people, but I am not the best Java programmer in the world. But people treat me this way, and before I was just a Java programmer, working on a project, doing some consulting job, now everybody is looking to me, waiting for some miracles, and expect me to deliver much more than a normal person do. Yes, but please, have mercy.
Right, thank you very much for listening.
And
We're going to keep on with the show.
Thank you.
We switch now?
Yes.
Are you going to join this introduction again?
Yeah. I think let's turn. Let's. Let's turn this one off.
They're saying that this
just share with my.
Actually, you know what? No, I think that's. You know, if you speak like.
Oh. Yeah, it's kind of hard. Okay.
Nope.
You almost use.
Let's use this.
Okay, so thanks a lot, folks. That was Bruno interviewing Yaakov Fain, and now we will have 10 minutes of Yaakov interviewing Bruno.
All right. Hello, Bruno. This is Yaakov. I wasn't expecting to interview anybody, but let's do this. I think we can manage this. So where do you work? How did you start working with Java, and what are your major responsibility in Java?
Okay, don't worry, Yaakov. I wasn't expecting to be interviewed either, so I think we're in the same boat here. I'm the president of So Java. That's one of the largest Java user group in the world. It's a Java user group in Brazil, and I start working with Java when in 1995, actually March of 1995, when the first Java release came out. I was working at Sun at that time, and I was just playing around with it. You know, just had this. This cool things jumping up and down HTML pages, and you know, I thought it was nice because it gave us a little bit of interactivity on that otherwise static HTML page at that time. And then a year later, everybody was talking about Java, and I was kind of like, you know, the only guy in Southern Brazil that ever heard about it. And so that's how I started, and I was for 5 years Sun's Java evangelist down in Brazil. And I think the biggest role I play in Java to these days right now is trying to get the Java users community to do more things together, and you know, to participate more in activities with each other and with Sun and with other companies. I think that's my main thing I do right now.
How would you compare popularity of Java and football in Brazil?
Oh well, that's an unfair comparison, right? You know, but I think in terms, if we'd say that Java or that's sports were computer languages, then football would be Java, because Java is by far the most used language in Brazil those days, and I think this part of it is because of the large number of Java user groups and the large number of volunteers kind of promoting evangelized technology there in Brazil.
But how do you come to somebody, how do you offer somebody to join this Java community? Do you send email? How do you know who are the people who potentially may be Java-friendly people?
Okay, I think what the user groups always do is that they try to bring people from all over the place, right? So they go to universities and they talk to university students. They, you know, give a first presentation of what Java is and what the advantages of it are. Or you go to inside companies. There's a lot of companies that we do. We go on and, you know, they're using Delphi or VB or some other language. And then we go on, we do a presentation about what Java is, and we invite them to come part of the user group. A lot of them have heard about Java, have learning Java either in school or university or at work, and then they found out our mailing list and they start to participating. So there's a lot of ways that people join the user groups community. I think the main challenge that we have is that once those guys join the community is giving them enough information so that they keep working with the user group, so the user group keeps growing and keeps doing more and more things.
What bothered me the most is that I don't see too many women over here on the floor. What the situation is in Brazil? What women do, and do they go into Java?
I think that's a very good question. You know, Aaron from the Java Champions was one time talking with me and said, you know, we need more girls on the Java Champion. And, you know, we went on and we found a handful of them, because in Brazil, almost every successful Java user group in Brazil is either led, you know, the leader or the one of the very, very most important leaders of the group is a girl. So, you know, there's a lot of the group from Brazil, there's a lot of girls here from Brazil they're in the show. Last year's Java One, the project, the Brazilian project was that was featured on the keynote. Is leader is the leader of the project is Fabiane Nardon. That's our Java champion, and it's a girl. So there's a lot of girls doing Java in Brazil. That's a nice thing.
And it's obviously it's different than what happens here in the United States. But obviously, I guess in Brazil, people go play football or watch football, and meanwhile, women go to attend or lead the Java development. Is there any kind of resistance that you can talk about? Any problems? Say you want to bring more people to Java, to the Java community. Do you feel or see any resistance? And if yes, why? Are there any other languages that are more popular than Java?
Okay, there are no... Java today is the most popular language in Brazil. I think the largest resistance that we see is because Brazil has an interesting situation in regards to Microsoft technologies, because in the past, we had laws that didn't allow you to bring hardware into the country, so all the hardware had to be developed inside the country. But software could be brought from outside. So for a long, long time, Microsoft was basically the only provider of technology in a lot of areas. So there's a lot of people that are coming from this Microsoft world that they don't realize the importance of multi-platform or many people think that Java is against Microsoft. That's not the case. Now we are just pro multi-platform solutions. So I think that has been changing on the last few years. One interesting thing is that a lot of companies, especially the Brazilian government, has chosen Java as the way to go, exactly because of the independence that we get. You know, it makes the whole country to be independent from a single vendor. I think that's always good, whoever this vendor is, right? And so I think that the resistance came a little bit from there. The other problem that we see that we're trying to attack in the last few years is the lack of information in Portuguese. Right, so there's a lot of information in English. All of the Java documentation is in English. All of that. So we have been doing some work with Sun and other companies to translate a lot of things to Portuguese, so newbies can feel at ease with the technology from the start.
Basically, some other countries they go a different way. They study, they learn English, and this is how they have more work and they have more exposure to Java. And that's why probably, if you take India, they are probably the most destination when it comes to outsourcing. In your case, you're saying that you are looking for more books in Portuguese. Maybe that's a problem, and maybe that's why Brazil is not considered to be an outsourcing partner. If you would turn around and go with original English documentation, maybe it'll be helpful to your country in general.
That's a very good question. You know, that's one interesting thing. There's a lot of people that don't see Brazil as a place for outsourcing. But if you get the internal Brazilian market for IT, our internal market is larger than Indian export market. So the fact that, you know, everything that India does is not targeted for their internal group, you know, their internal, for it's all targeted for exports, or at least so it seems. But our internal market is so big that there's a lot of the development is targeted for the Brazilian market. That's why you see, for example, on the last few Duke Awards, we always had a Brazilian project on it because it's huge project, huge Java projects. There's a huge development teams, so there's very complex technology being done that and everything. So I agree with you, because since we have such a large market, not a lot of attention has been put up to the export market. And not enough, So I kind of agree a little bit with you, and that's something we kind of have to fix, you know, kind of exporting all the technology we're developing instead of just focusing on the local market.
What about education? When people start studying Java, is anything happening before the college in the high school in this regard?
And for most people, it's Java technology comes as first computer language in at the college level or university level. But we do have some initiatives from Java user groups like SoJava and other user groups, like DFJUG, for example, is another user group that's here. Several other user groups around Brazil they're doing they're teaching Java for high school level students, also DFJUG, for example. You're gonna see on their presentation sometime during the day. They also do a lot of work with people with disabilities, for example. So there's some efforts of teaching Java for younger people, but mostly the first contact is in university. But one interesting thing is that today, for most universities, Java is the first language, right? Or at most, the second language. But every university teaches Java very early on the course.
And to finalize our interview, if you had a chance to make Sun do just one thing for Brazil in terms of Java, what would you ask for?
Well, that's an easy one to answer, right? You know, but I'm not going to ask that, you know. The thing is, the most important thing for us at this moment is to have an open source implementation of Java, right? So, and we're not going to ask Sun to open source their implementation, because that's their implementation, do whatever they wish. But the thing is, I really think that if Sun could do one thing, would be to engage more with the open source, the people that are doing open source implementations, to discuss compatibility, so we can really have a compatible open source implementation of the Java standards.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all for listening.
This has been the Java.net Community Corner Podcast. Come visit us at Pod 532 on the pavilion floor, and check out our website at jnpodcasts.dev.java.net, where you'll find show notes and a feed for all our Java 1 2006 podcasts.